It's just too hard. Oh, but Jesus is saying, hold on. Help is on the way. Thank you, Jesus. We look at Esther. Hallelujah. The queen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Which should not have been. She was all prime and she was up the ladder. But thank God for Mordecai. Had to remind her who you are and whose you are. Sometimes we have to be reminded who we belong to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that it is him that worked the will to do in us. Mordecai came to and told us that you must have forgot who you are. Yeah. Say, for this cause, who's to know you did not come to God that placed you there for such a time as this? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Esther felt defeated before she even went before the king, because she said, if I die, let me die. Hallelujah. Defeat. But there's victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And somebody, even today, the devil is conniving to get you off base, get you to give up, to get you to surrender, to get you to feel defeated and stay defeated. Oh, but Daniel, when the king gave the decree, did not even recognize what he was doing. Hallelujah. Sometimes people do you wrong and they really like you. Yeah, they really like you. And I don't know why I did that. Yeah. Sometimes husband and wife situation. I really love you, but I don't know why I did it. I love you too, but I don't know why I popped you one. You know, the enemy. Defeat. Defeat. Praise you, Jesus. But Daniel, he said, but Daniel, I know this, your God shall deliver you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes they done you wrong, everything. They say, I know you're a Christian, and I know you're going to forgive me. Yeah, and you need to do just that. Yeah. I'm sorry. Daniel went down there in that lion's den, laid up there. Next morning, king couldn't wait to see. Thought he was going to be defeated. He went down to old Daniel. He said, long live the king. Victory out of defeat. Thank you, Jesus. Peter was one of his disciples. And when Peter got in a hot spot, which is some of us do, and got cornered, Peter, now I don't know him. I told you I don't know the man. Yeah, I saw you with him up there. Then to put a little emphasis on it, he said a few choice words to him. Now I done said I don't know him, but he had already told Peter before the crop, you're going to deny me. Amen? He had already forewarned. So don't you know Peter felt defeated? It came back to his remembrance. Oh God, what have I done? You said, I'm just defeated. Because you're defeated, don't count me out. Don't count me out. Because through my defeats, I gain victory. Hallelujah. And we get on down and we leave Peter, we look, even Paul. He say, for this thing that's in my body, I sought the Lord. I was defeated and I sought the Lord and I done prayed, Lord. How many of you have prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God, remove this cup? Lord, take me out of this. And you done prayed and prayed and asked the Lord and you get up and everything remains the same. And you feel defeated. But the Lord comforted Paul and told him, my grace is sufficient. And his grace is sufficient for you. Praise you, Jesus. Just feel like giving up. And sometimes even in your victories, that comes defeat. When we was building the church, it was all hallelujah, we in victory, we on our way. Woo! Praise you, Jesus. Then all of a sudden, boom, defeat. Defeat. Prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Hallelujah. Defeat. Saying, God, how can you let this happen? But who's to say that God did not let this happen for such a time as this? Hallelujah. He has it in his hand. Yes, he does. And he ended up turning our defeat into victory. Turning our dreams into a reality. Hallelujah. For this call, we can hold on. Then I even look at myself. Been through many battles. Won some and lost some. But I'm still standing. I'm still standing because God turned my defeats into my victories. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Down through the years, many things would come. One time I got so disturbed and everything, I just let loose everything. You ever been in a situation you just say, forget it. Tired of doing this. Tired of living like this. Just. But oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Had just enough left in me. That's why it's so necessary for us to get filled with the Spirit of God. Just enough in there. That little small voice. You can make it. Come on up a little higher. And our defeat serve as a stepping stone for us to go to another level. Move you on up. And let me tell y'all something. The higher the levels, the more trouble. It say trouble on every side, yet not distressed. I've been in distress. One night so distressed so till I called Reb. And I told him, Reb, I can't do this anymore. If the Lord don't intervene, then I'm lost. I'm on my way out. And he just began to just pray. And told me, now, daughter, wipe your face and come on to the church. Nobody but God. I heard someone say, weeping may endure for a night, but the joy come in the morning. I felt defeated. There was no victory in me, no how, no way. But thanks be to God who has the victory. And he not only has it, he gives it to us. Hallelujah. We are perplexed, but not in despair.
Say one more time, God is good.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hands.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to
worry. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
All right. It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Amen, amen. Get your Bibles, stand on your feet, and honor the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word, meet us in the text. Tell of the truth that we're teaching, meet each and every hearer where he or she may be spiritually. Then God, illuminate our hearts and minds. Bless us that we might not only see the principles, but empower us to practice the principles. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to call your attention to the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 19 is our verse of scripture that we shall focus on this morning. We've been dealing with the palm experience from verse 12 all the way through 19 sheds light on the place of the Palm Sunday experience, the people of the Palm Sunday experience, and the purpose for the Palm Sunday experience. And today, at the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to deal with the purpose of the Palm Sunday experience. Verse 19 says, "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. The Pharisees, the most religious sect of people, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail or profit nothing." Then they say, "Behold." Focus in, see. And that word in this particular context carries and denotes the word surprise. They were actually surprised that their plan failed and God's prevailed. Behold, the world is gone after him. When we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, and we recognize again the purpose for which he came, we talked about the place, Jerusalem. There are three reasons why I want to submit to you the place was so important. One, it was the place that God ordered and ordained Jesus Christ to come and to die for the sins of mankind. Amen. Jerusalem. Secondly, it was the place where man would be reconciled to God by way of Jesus and the cross of Calvary. But thirdly, it was from this same place that he would rule in the millennial kingdom. And so understanding Jerusalem plays a major role all through biblical antiquity, because it was God's chosen place. It was known as the city of God, the city of truth. And so God made clear that Jerusalem had his heart's affection. And so it's important to understand that God himself favored this city like no other place on planet Earth. That was the place. But second, were the people there. And it was important to realize that he sent his son to this particular place called Jerusalem to save a particular people that belonged to God, the Israelites, the Jews, They were God's chosen people. But the Jews rejected Jesus. In their rejection of Jesus, it opened up the door for the Greeks, for the Gentiles, for the non-Jewish people, for every race, nationality, and ethnicity who would accept Jesus as their Savior would now become their Savior and their King. Amen. It was because of the rejection, again, of his own people that we, you, me, were given the opportunity to be saved by this fantastic Savior that only he, in God's sight, could bring man into a right place and into a right state with him. Amen. So now we're going to focus on the purpose for which he came. You know, we've already told you that he came for sinners, and we know that because we are sinners saved by grace. He came for the Jews first, and at that time only, because salvation was of the Jews, according to John 4:22. But the Greeks, and representing all nationalities and all races of people, received him, because in the 20th verse of this 12th chapter, it says the Greeks came to worship him. And so again, the door was opened for whosoever will to come and to worship the Lord, and he came to redeem mankind. But let me give you more reasons, at least two more reasons, of why Jesus came. This Palm Sunday was the beginning of something very good for us here today, just as it was for those persons nearly 2,000 years ago. One, Jesus came in order that we might have a better life. Amen. Somebody say a better life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but to rob, steal, and to kill, to destroy. That was his mission, his purpose, his focus. Whenever he showed up, that was what his plan was. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Now, life here represents salvation. I came that you might have salvation. And then he says, and that, listen, that life, that salvation, more abundantly. That means superabundance. Now, when he says abundantly, he's talking about superabundance. So you've got life, but just because you're saved don't mean you have superabundance. Somebody didn't get that. Just because you are saved does not mean that you're walking in the superabundance that comes with you. Jesus said, I came that you might have salvation. You got salvation. But have you stopped at the door of salvation and have not entered in to partake and participate of all of the benefits and all of the blessings and all of the worthiness that comes with salvation? You see, salvation is more than being saved. I've shared that with you before. You've got to understand, when Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly, he says, one, I've come that you might have salvation, and you got that. You accept me, you got that. But that's not all I came to do, was to save you. If that was the case, he could have saved us and killed us then. Once you get saved and you die. Why? Because if all that is to salvation is being saved, then it ain't nothing else to live for after that. So you'll be living just to be saved. So if you get saved at 6, 7 years old, you die at 6 or 7. You get saved at 50, you die at 50. If you get saved at 25, you die at 6. But no, he had more life than that. He came that we might have a better life. Better life. Super abundant life. Now here's the problem with this. Most people think that abundance resides only in the realm of materials. education or pleasures. They relegate their thinking to believing that abundance is reserved for these arenas. There is so much, that's the tip of the iceberg. If you settle for that, you'd still be settling for less than the best that God intends for us. And so when we begin to look at this, because this word abundance carries with it the idea or the sense of something in the sense of beyond. See, I came that you have life. I came that you might have life. I want you to have life, but that's not all I want you to have. I want you to have super abundant life, so I want you to have that beyond life. Hallelujah. You ever ask yourself the question sometime as a Christian, is this all there is to being saved? I mean, ain't no sense in us sitting here acting like we didn't live life to the fullest in Jesus Christ, and we've experienced all of the power, the anointing, the authority, and we're walking in that, and we see the fullness of Jesus Christ exercised in our person daily, and we walk and talk in the manner that he has given to us, and therefore we've seen all there is to see, we've done all there is to do, we know all there is to know. Don't act like I'm talking to you, boo. You ain't been that. You've not experienced that. And to the most of us, Sunday morning worship is relegated to how we feel that day. So if we feel all right that day, and the preacher feel all right that day, and the choir feel all right that day, we had a good Sunday. We got something to hold on during the week, but other than that, I mean, you know, what else is there? Some of us are not even affiliated with the things of God to be able to do the things, walk in those things, experience those things, except on a Sunday. Any of us don't even talk about Jesus on Monday or Tuesday. Many of us don't do the things of Jesus during those things. Our lives are not filled with excitement as it relates to the things of Jesus. And so we miss it. That's why they say the church at its birth was the church at its best. Because believers, look at what they would do. They come to church, get a word from the Lord, and go back out and check it out. And when they were convinced that it was what it was, they worked it out. So listen, they come to church on Sunday and listen, and hear the word, but they go out through the week and work the word so that by the next Sunday they come back shouting, talking about it works. We've healed the sick, we've raised some dead, we've cast out demons. That they've worked the word and the word works, and so they're excited about it. But you come to church on Sunday, get a word, don't even check out if the word is all it is, and you never make the word work for you. You're surrounded with people who need this word. Talking about we need a word from the Lord. For what? What you gonna do with the word? You ain't gonna do nothing with the word. I just need a word. Okay, you got it. What you gonna do with it? Because if he said it, that, and you believe it, that ought to settle it. You got a word from the Lord and you still worry. You got a word from the Lord and you're delivered. His word says you're delivered, but you're still acting bound. Do you know the only reason why in this word we are supposed to take it and we're supposed to eat this word and allow this word to become a part of us, engrafted in us so much that it is a part of us that we don't know where the word ends and we begins, because we are one with the word. We believe that word so much so that when we speak it, we expect to see it. I don't care what people say, the world says, God's got the last word on the word. Do you know why some of you all are still, and I'm talking about those who fight the good fight of faith. Do you know why some of you are still struggling and still wrestling right now? Because you won't give up. The Lord says you're a victor, and the devil's trying to treat you like a victim, and you ain't about to give up and give out and lay down and die and let the devil win. So you got to fight, and he knocks you down, but you say, devil, it ain't over yet. It ain't over till I'm counted the victor in this situation. Wish I had a witness here. I know what the doctor said, but he said, I'm here. So excuse me if I keep on pushing and I keep on pressing and I keep on giving it all I got, because I'm acting like I'm here. I got a word from the Lord. In every situation, he speaks to us clearly that we might have a more abundant life, a better life. Somebody say a better life. A better life. I'm looking for a better life. It's got to be better than it is today, tomorrow. It's a good day today, but I'm looking for a better one tomorrow. As a matter of fact, tomorrow is too long away. I'm gonna make it better today. Listen, listen, listen. It's John 10:10, and this abundance reminds us of Ephesians 3:20, which says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. If Jesus don't want a better life for you, baby, I don't know who does. He wants a better life for you more than you want for yourself. You ain't gonna ever hear him say, that's good enough. You're never gonna hear him say, it don't take all of that. You're never ever gonna hear him say, that's good enough. Because he constantly wants us to increase in a better life. Better life. Better life. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we understand that, many people have the idea that abundance has to do with money and material things. Yes, that's included, but that's not limited to just that. And don't you ever limit your blessings to money and stuff. Because you got folk who don't know Jesus, don't even know a Jesus exists, got money and stuff. And got more money and stuff than you. Who are saved and filled with the... has got an anointing all over your life. You got the word in you, around you, carried under your arm, and they're blessed all on top of you. So don't think it's just money and material things. The world can get those things. So my brothers and sisters, it's foolish for us to limit the abundance of God in our lives. And by the way, again, just because you're saved, don't think that it's an automatic part of what happens without your participation. See, just like you have to accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to accept abundance, superabundance, as your share. I said, just as you accept Jesus as your Savior, you have to accept superabundance as your share. That's my right. That's my right to be super abundantly blessed.